you for tuning to Glad Tidings. Pastor David Chan will be sharing the word with us. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you in your faith journey.
We are now on the new theme for this year in our shift, and the theme is on discipleship. And the church is now moving up another notch. We are moving up to high gear now. Very soon we'll be going on overdrive. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It is shifting. Amen. As you can see, it is happening already. I say this with the fear of God. It will happen. Because I see some people who attended this morning's first service, they are also here for the second service. And for those who are following us online this morning, I pray you will not take your eyes off the box or that handphone that you have locked in. Wherever you may be, in Bangkok, in Hong Kong, in Bali, in Jakarta, in Kampa, don't take your eyes off the box, because God speaks to everyone. The word will travel through cyberspace, amen, and reach your very room and speak to you from the box. Because the Holy Spirit that will rise up big within you this morning. As disciples, we must remember the very words that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 to verse 26. He says this to all his disciples: if anyone who desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And he says, whoever desires to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake, he will find it. Then, this is the last verse, he says, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? This is the call of a disciple. The call of the disciple involves two things, but this is the most difficult ones. It involves, number one, denial of yourself. Denial of your selfish, self-reliance, ego, and pride. Coming in all humility before Jesus and say, I can't do it. You can do it. It's coming before Jesus and say, it is not me. It's not my will, but yours be done. That is denial of self. That we need to do first. We need to step down from our high horse and not lean our trust on our own understanding. But we need to trust God, because His understanding is beyond us. It's infinite. We need to come to a point where we say, Jesus, help me. And I'm sure many of you here today, you have come to that point at one time in your life or another. Then the next is, we need to take up our cross. We need to count the cost of being a disciple for Jesus. Because following Jesus has a cost, has a price, has a sacrifice to pay. And sometimes it's a painful sacrifice. Sometimes it's something that you feel difficult to give up. But let me say this, no amount of sacrifice, no amount of what you can give today to God can better be what you will attain, the benefits that you will attain from following Jesus Christ. I will elaborate this later in my message, and you will know what I'm talking about. Jesus, when he first started his ministry here on earth, more than 2,000 years ago, he went to the shores of the Sea of Galilee. He stood by the shores and he looked at a boat out in the lake, and he saw two brothers fishing. They were Peter and Andrew. And he shouted to them, he called out to them and said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Now, we don't know how far the boat was from the lake, but it has to be quite a distance, because they don't fish by the seashore. they fished right into the deep because they were drawing out their nets. So there was that distance, and there was the sound of rushing waves. So there were a lot of other sounds that was around them. But there is one compelling sound that goes out above every sound that this natural world has ever heard and ever made. And that's the voice of God. And this morning, this sound is going out once again. And it's not just hitting your ears, it's hitting your heart. Because if it hits your ears and it goes to your mind, next week you will remember this message no more. But if it touches your heart this morning, then you know God has spoken to you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. They heard that compelling voice. And when they heard it, it was like a drawing factor. It was like something supernatural that was calling them. It was something that they have never heard before. The voice of a master, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, calling out to them to come, follow him, so that he will make them fishers of men. Now, they were fishermen. Now, this is a whole different new ball game altogether, a paradigm switch. It was no more fishing. It was speaking the gospel of Jesus. They never knew what it entails when they heeded that call, because that was the start of it all. Yes, they responded. They came back to the shore, gave up their nets, gave up their boats, and they followed Jesus. And they were not wrong, because as they followed Jesus, they saw all the signs and wonders, the miracles, the healings, and everything they saw with their very own eyes. But there were also the ups and downs in the course of the 3.5 years of following Jesus. There were occasions of challenges. There were occasions of fear. There were occasions of persecution. There was even threat of being put to prison, put to death. There were a lot of challenges that they went, and it challenged their faith and that voice. But that voice still remained in their heart. It still continued to sound. And I believe that same voice is still sounding in your heart today. It may be a bit soft now. It may not be so audible now. But today, I'm sure after you hear this message, the volume will go up. Amen. The volume will go up because the voice of God is going out again this morning. The reason you are here is because of that sound. You could be elsewhere today doing a lot of other different things, but you came because you wanted to hear that sound again. The sound of the Master, the sound of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we are here, to hear the voice of God. Jesus is looking for disciples. He is not looking for church members. Ouch. I have to be very honest. Can I be honest? I can be honest. You know why? Next week I won't be standing here. Y'all can say what you want. It's all right. I will say what I need to say, because that's what the Lord is saying. Jesus is not looking for church hoppers. Ouch. Double ouch. You know what Jesus is looking for? Palm trees and cedars of Lebanon. You know the significance of those two trees that is planted in the house of the Lord? These are very significant trees, because in the desert, in the oasis, the palm trees are the only one that will survive in the oasis. You know how we can survive in such a dry and arid land? It's because they have special roots called tap roots. They go real deep down to reach out to the artesian water wells that's under the ground, 20, 30, 40, 50 feet deep. And the tap roots are able to penetrate the sand and the soil to go down and draw from that water. That's why in Psalms chapter 92, go back and read. GTNs, you all are people of the word. Amen. I'm bringing you here today to tell you, you are palm trees today. God wants to plant palm trees in this church, so that when the storms come, when the problems come, when the difficulties come, your roots will go even deeper. The more problems, the roots will go even deeper. Because why? Deeper you tap the living waters of Jesus. Amen. So that you can survive The fruits will continue to bear. The winds will blow. The storms may come. But your roots will stand strong because it's tapping from the rivers of living waters. Amen. Amen. Church hoppers cannot. No time to plant roots. They are here today, gone tomorrow. They are trendsetters. We are not trendsetters. We are Jesus followers. Amen. Palm trees are the ones that God wants to plant. Cedars of Lebanon. Now I'm telling you this. If you go back and ask those who came for the first service, they would not have heard this part of the message. I don't know why, but I said this because it's always good to come back for the next service because things are different. Praise God for those who are staying here. Cedars of Lebanon are found on the hills and the slopes of Lebanon. That's called cedars. They are strong trees. They are trees that are planted at different levels. The younger ones at lower level, the not so young ones at a higher level, and the highest one right at the, almost at the summit of those mountains are the tall cedars. They are the cedars that are strong. They are the cedars that are used to build the temple of God that Solomon used. Now, why is this so significant that the cedars are mentioned in the Bible? For the wood, for its strength, for its hardness and the quality. But not only that, cedars of Lebanon faces, the trees faces the Mediterranean Sea. They grow on the side of the hill slope that faces the Mediterranean. When the storms come, when the winds blow, the trees will sway. It will not be uprooted because it's strong. It will sway. And as it sways, it will give off a sweet fragrance of a sound, a swishing sound. And it's a melodious sound. And all the trees will be swaying in the storm. Likewise, God is saying, cedars of Lebanon in this church will sway when the problems come. They will swing, but they will not be uprooted. But they will give off a melodious sound, a song of praise and worship to Almighty God. God is looking for such trees. Trees are metaphors that God is using to depict the people of God. Amen. Amen. We are so used to quoting Psalms chapter 91. Praise the Lord, Gideons. As I said, we are all people of the word, but God is moving one gear higher. Go to Psalms 92 now and picture yourself whether you are a palm tree or you are a cedar of Lebanon. Amen. So it's obvious now that Jesus is looking for disciples. And I have three narratives very quickly. I want to share with you why you need to be a follower of Jesus. And not just a member, an ordinary member. Number one, time is running out. You look at this clock. It's actually started ticking. The AV team asked me, Pastor, do you want this clock to tick? I say it'll be good, but then I will have a problem because then I will have a deadline. So we just left it at this. But I'm saying, time is running out. Daniel chapter 5 is the story, the narrative of a king called Belshazzar, king of Babylon. He took over from his ancestor Nebuchadnezzar, and he was the king then at that time. And one day he decided to throw a huge party, a party that involves 1,000 of his generals and princes and all his subjects, another few thousand of his subjects. It was a huge party. There was feasting, there was drinking, there was entertainment, there was everything. And in the midst of all that enjoyment and entertainment, he decided to call the court officials to bring out the vessels of gold and silver that his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple of God in Jerusalem when they captured the city. And those temples, those vessels were kept in the storehouse. He ordered that it be taken out so that they can drink from it. Man, never do that. Can you imagine? It's just like if you use this guitar today and you start playing in a house that worships Satan. A guitar that has been consecrated, set aside to pray, to play and praise God, and then you take it and go and play in a house that worships Satan. That's how bad it is. and they poured wine and they started to drink. And on top of that, while they were drinking, they were giving praise to their gods of gold, their gods of silver, their gods of metal, their gods of stone, their gods of wood. They were giving praise to all the other gods, drinking from the golden vessels that God has consecrated. That's a desecration. Amen. And you better bet that God will take action. And God did take action. A hand suddenly appeared in that hall. Just a hand. And it started to write on the wall these words: Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. That's all. Just wrote on the wall. When they saw a hand without a body just writing these words, they were shocked. The king was shocked. The Bible says his knees started to knock. I mean, if the hand will appear here and right here, something like that, I think you'll be shocked. Amen? Half of you will run out of this place. So they called the soothsayers, they called the astrologers to come to interpret what it means. None of them could. Finally, the queen remembered Daniel, a man of God that God used to interpret dreams. And they called for him, and he came and he interpreted that dream, that words. He said, this is the interpretation. Belshazzar, God has numbered your kingdom, and he has finished it. Number one, he has numbered your kingdom and he's finished it. Number two, he has put you up on the balances. He has put you up on the balances because you have been found wanting. You have a serious problem, Belshazzar. God has found you wanting. And the third, your kingdom has been divided and will be given to the Medes and Persian. Now, after hearing this, what did Belshazzar do? Now, any ordinary person, when God speaks to you like that with a handwriting on the wall and the interpretation coming, you know time is running out. Your number has been called. Your day of reckoning has come. Normal, ordinary person will repent before God. Amen. Even kings will repent. The king of Nineveh repented when Jonah preached the word, because Jonah said, if you don't repent, God is going to bring judgment. The king of Nineveh and all his subjects, including his cows, his goats, his sheep, his donkeys, and camels, all fasted and prayed. They repented. But this guy, he never repented. The Bible said he went on doing his usual stuff. He rewarded Daniel for being able to interpret, and he went on. Time was running out for him. He didn't know when that time was, but it was very short. That very same night, he was assassinated. That very same night, he was assassinated, and his kingdom was divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And King Darius took over. His time has run out. Now, why am I bringing you this narrative? I'm bringing you this narrative is because time is running out for planet Earth. Time is running out for this world. Time is running out for us. Church, we are serious. You said, where? Time not running out. I'm still okay. I can still book my tickets. I can still go here, go there. But I'm saying time is running out. If you care to hear and read what is going on around the world, you will know that prophecies, one after another, is being fulfilled. Go back and read the book of Matthew chapter 24. It is more or less chronological in its arrangement. And we have reached a certain portion of those prophecies that Jesus said. He said that there will be wars and rumors of wars. Do you hear wars and rumors of wars? We are on the brink of a nuclear war, possibly. Amen? Ouch, I shouldn't say amen. It's not a nice word to say nuclear war.
We hope that you are enjoying the message so far. If you would like to know more about our church and get connected, head to our website at gladtidings.my. Thank you for listening. Now let's get back to the Word.
We are on the brink of such a great time in our history and generation. And there will be diverse earthquakes in many places. We have not heard of so many earthquakes happening in so many parts of the world in this one generation as we are now hearing. The recent earthquake in Turkey. Buildings just crumbling down like stacks of blocks, like Lego blocks. Small little ones happening all over Indonesia. We are surrounded by the ring of fire. The earthquakes is all around us. Never imagine that it will not affect us. It might. We may feel the after effects of one major one that happens in Indonesia. Time is running out for planet Earth. You know why? Because as the prophecies are being fulfilled one after another, Jesus says there will come to a point where he says, this is the end. And he says, I am coming soon. Oh, you, many people have told me, Pastor, they have been talking about Jesus saying, I'm coming soon from the time he left earth on the Mount of Olives. Until now, Boa, Bolaya, didn't come. Where is he? Yes, those times that we say Jesus is coming soon, we have not seen all these prophecies being fulfilled. Now we are seeing one by one happening. We are now have reached the book of Revelation. We have reached the book. We are into the first few chapters. We have already gone past that. We are almost into the middle. Now that's going to be dangerous. So time is running out for us. But I keep hearing this. Many tell me, Pastor, I have no time lah. This is the common phrase, right? I wish I had 48 hours in a day. I don't have time. I have so much things on my mind. I don't have time for God. Some are just excuses. It's time. Time is running out. Because our greatest fear, one of our greatest fears, now, can I be honest, church? Can I be honest? It doesn't matter. Whether you like to hear or not, it's okay. I'll still say it. As I say, I won't be here next week. One of our greatest fears is the word called commitment. When you are asked to do something for God and when there's a commitment involved, you will reverse gear. I cannot be committed because I cannot guarantee my time. I don't have time. Commitment is one of our greatest fears. But God is saying, excuse me, your sacrifices is not going to be in vain. The surrender of your time will not be in vain. Because whatever you surrender to Jesus, whatever sacrifices you give to Jesus cannot outweigh the benefits of what you will attain from following Him. Do you like me to repeat that? What I'm saying is, whatever you surrender to God, your time, whatever your passion, your sacrifices that you give to God, it cannot outweigh the benefits that you will receive from Jesus. Jesus will give you something out of this world. Amen. Out of this world. So may I say this now? Allow me to say this. First things first, the easy part. Tuesday is prayer encounter day. That is the test of our commitment. Amen. We cannot say, I commit, I'm okay. But it's one thing to talk about it, it's another to do it. Amen. And I'm telling you, I will do it. Because why? I had to cancel a trip. I just realized because the trips that I was to go on starts on Tuesday. And many people ask my wife this morning, the first service, what happened now, Pastor? What happened now? Why you cancel your trip? Why? I say, sacrifice lah. Don't go for holiday. Go for a prayer encounter. So my wife is very happy now. She got the answer. I also didn't know how to answer her just now. This church is starting on a new shift, okay? When you come on Tuesday, I guarantee you, things will be different. It will be different. Those that were here last Sunday, last Wednesday, you can attest. There was a brother that came this morning, the first service. He came on Wednesday last week, and God spoke to him, and he's all stirred up. He's all convicted. He came this morning for the service. He says he will now follow Jesus all the way. He is planning to go for water baptism. He came up with his daughter after the service. God will move in various ways. God will talk. The voice of God is compelling. Amen. It's calling us this morning. It's talking to our hearts this morning. Time is running out. We need to hear the voice of God. I will go on to the next narrative. Oh, before I go to the next narrative, as I said, Jesus is coming here soon. But don't ask me about theological and doctrinal issues. When? What date? Pre-trip? Mid-trip? Post-trip? I've got no time to go into that. You want to know more? See Pastor Sunita. She will ask you to attend equip classes. There she will tell you whether pre-trip, mid-trip, or post-trip. What I can tell you here is this. I don't care whether pre-trip, mid-trip, post-trip. All I know is Jesus said, He's coming soon. The angel said, the way you see Jesus going up, that will be the way you see Jesus coming back. Amen. And the most important thing for us is whether we will be able to hear that trumpet sound. That's the most important. Don't miss that sound. Any other sound you can miss, don't miss that sound. If you miss the first trip, the second trip will be difficult. So make sure you get on the first trip. Praise the Lord. The second narrative is from the book of John, chapter 8, verse 3 to 11. Talks about the adulterous woman. This is the story. The Pharisees wanted to fix Jesus up because they were jealous that he was doing so many things and he was stealing their thunder and lightning. Jesus was stealing their limelight. So they felt threatened. They want to fix Jesus up. So they say the best way is to get this adulterous woman, come within the midst of all the people while he's preaching and ask him that this woman that was caught in an adulterous affair, should she be stoned to death as the law of Moses require, or should you set her free? Now, this is a hard question for Jesus. For Jesus, he has come to seek and save the lost. Amen. He did not come to condemn and kill anyone. He came to forgive. So I want you to know, if you are here the first time, Jesus is here today to forgive. It doesn't matter the magnitude of your sin, the magnitude of the wrongdoings, Jesus is able to forgive. They say, should she be stoned to death or should she be set free? If Jesus set her free, then he will go against the law of Moses and the people will say he's not the Messiah. If Jesus says, yes, follow what Moses said in the law, stone her to death, the Romans will come for him because the Roman governing powers at that time requires that any death sentence cannot be pronounced by anyone. It can only be pronounced in the Roman court of law. So if anyone pronounces a death sentence over anyone, he will be taken and will be charged. So either way, Jesus is fixed. So what did he do? He stooped down on the ground and with his finger, he started to write something on the ground. Notice it's the finger again. Church, first the finger on the wall, now the finger on the ground. Now many people have tried to theologize what was written on the ground. Many theologians have said this could be the possibility, this could be what he has written. None of them could prove because none of them knew what was written on the ground. So because of that, I also have the right to say my version. Version 3. Is that okay? I believe Jesus wrote guilty. 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 You know what was his response? Why I say that? Because he responded to all those that were around waiting to stone. They were waiting for Jesus' response. And Jesus' response was, let him who has no sin throw the first stone at her. When that word of God went out, it was again that voice, that sound. Amen? That sound of God that went out. And the Holy Spirit was just waiting for that word to come up from Jesus. The moment that word came up from Jesus, the Holy Spirit took action. The word was just there. It just had to be declared. And I say to you, GTNs, today, you have that privilege of that word. You know why you have that privilege? All of you disciples of Jesus, followers of Jesus, followers of the word of God, the word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. This is the word we are preaching to you today, that you confess Jesus as your Lord and believe Him, that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. That word is near you. If you are sick today, confess that word, that God, by His stripes, has healed you. When you believe that by faith, the Holy Spirit will take action and healing will begin to be passed down to you. Amen. It has to be the word and the spirit. We are people of the word. Now we want to be people of the spirit also. That's why we need to come on Tuesday to ask the Holy Spirit to come down in such magnitude, so that when the Spirit is amongst our midst, the presence of God is amongst our midst, when we declare the word, the Spirit will take action. Healing will take place. Deliverance will take place. Transformation will take place. You believe me? Praise the Lord. For all those watching on live stream, I pray this word reaches to you this morning, this message, that through cyberspace, you'll be able to grasp what the Holy Spirit is saying. This is a life-changing message that we need to hear today. And now, that woman was standing there, and the chief priest probably had a stone in his pocket and was going to take it out, but he couldn't. Because why? When Jesus said, let him who has no sin cast the first stone, he was convicted by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit might have spoken to him, you got no sin. What no sin? You want to bear false witness? You are plotting against Jesus? You are doing all these bad things? That is sin. And if you've broken one sin in the law of Moses, you've broken all the law. You've broken all the law. You've broken one law, you break all the law. So he knew the conviction that he has sinned in his life. Therefore, he cannot take the stone out from his pocket to stone that woman. So what he did, he quickly, slowly backed out from the crowd and disappeared. Likewise, all the other Pharisees that were with him, they too could not, because they were convicted of their sins. And the rest of them around, they too, slowly seeing all their priests and all that backing out, they too realized that they had more sins. They coveted their neighbor's wife. They bear false witness. They lied. They practiced idolatry. They were murderers. And possibly, there's one adulterer there. Possibly there was one adulterer, the one that committed adultery with this woman. I said this earlier this morning. Adultery cannot be performed and carried out by one person. It must be two persons. Take two hands to clap. If there's a woman, there must be a man. But these days, things are changing. There's lawlessness. I don't know what you call it, because men and men get married. So how are they going to commit adultery? It's not adultery anymore. I don't know. There must be a new word for it. You look at the sins of lawlessness that's going on, church. There is this thing called gender equality. What gender equality means is, today, if I feel like I want to be a woman, I can be a woman. So I go to the ladies' toilet. Can I? tomorrow I want to be a man, I go into the men's toilet. You as a woman today, I feel like I'm a man, I want to go into the men's toilet. Can I? But I tell you, this is happening. So you see, time is running out for us, church. You look at the lawlessness that is happening. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 24, like in the days of Noah, they were drinking, they were giving to one another, they were committing all kinds of sins. They did not know that Noah had already entered the ark. Time was running out, and the doors to the ark was closing. Today, if you are here, God says, praise God. Even though all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is life eternal in Christ Jesus. God, by His grace, Jesus, by His grace, is able to forgive any sin that we have committed. Amen? That is the reason why we are here. We have been set free from the bondage of sin. That's the reason why we preach the gospel of the good news. Because why? The gospel of the good news starts with a disease. And that disease is sin. It's not even sickness yet, it's sin. And the cause of sin is death. But praise be to God, Jesus came with a cure. The cure for all the sins and diseases, He says, by My stripes you are healed. Amen. Amen. That is the cure. So I urge you, take the cure. Because Jesus has come with the cure. The third narrative, Daniel chapter 16, talks about this man called Samson. Samson was a man that was endowed with much great supernatural strength. He was born with that strength because God had called him to deliver His people. And he had to make a vow, a Nazarite vow, where he's not supposed to shave his head, he's not supposed to drink wine, he's supposed to keep his life pure and righteous before God. But this man had other thoughts. He got involved with women, he got involved with prostitutes, he got involved with a woman called Delilah. Delilah, Lila. So keep calling him, always calling him, Lila, Lila. So he ended sleeping on her lap, and he had to reveal his secret. She shaved his head bald. He got no more strength. The Philistines came and captured him, put him to prison, and took out his two eyes, blinded him. But as he was in prison, his hair started to grow back. And when his hair was long enough, he knew his strength will come back. And one day, while the Philistines were enjoying in the temple that they worshipped their god, Dagon, they decided to bring Samson out to make a spectacle of him, to show their god Dagon that they have power over Yahweh God. And they brought Samson. By this time, Samson's hair had grown long. And Samson said this in Judges chapter 16. God, remember me. Remember me. One more time, I pray. One more time. And when you remember me one more time, I will redeem what I have lost. Though my eyes have been taken out, my spiritual eyes are still there. I can still see God as who He is and what He can do. God, remember me. Give me Your strength one more time. And he asked the boy that led him to the temple to place his hands on the two strongest pillars. And he, with one push, the pillars collapsed and the entire temple collapsed over the thousands that were in the temple. So Dagon was not so powerful after all. Amen. Dagon had eyes but couldn't see, ears but couldn't hear, mouth but couldn't talk. Samson served Yahweh. He had no eyes but he could see. He could talk and he could hear God speaking to him. Amen. We are serving a living God who has eyes to see, ears to hear, and a mouth to speak today. And I will end with this story. Those who have left, please tell them after this. This is my closing story. I think you like to hear stories, right? I want to indulge the team to just spare me 5 more minutes. Please forgive me. I know they are anxious. I see the clock. I'm overdue. But I need to share this story to close this up. Because I may not have another opportunity to stand here. Only God willing. Amen. I spoke to a brother this morning. I don't carry a name card. I don't put my ministry on Facebook or social media. Of course, it's not wrong. Many pastors do that. I don't do it. For the last 14 years, I took a leaf out of the life of a man called George Mueller. He never carried a name card. He never sold or advertised his ministry. But he depended on God to arrange his finances and his ministry. And that was the leaf I took from George Mueller. I say, God, if the church that you want me to preach, you will open the door. They will call me. Amen. It is better that they call me than I call them. Amen. When they call me, I know God wants to speak to that church. And it's much easier for me to deliver that message. So it has been like that for the last 14 years. And GT is no different. So that's why I say, I don't know when I will be next called, because that has to be the voice of God that will make that place pop, that opportunity available. But I say this today, this story, and it's a real story. Many years ago, I was in a church, as I shared this morning, but I didn't share this part. That's why I say, you better come back. For all those you are in Bangkok, in Thailand, in wherever you are, in which other parts of Malaysia, KL Klang Valley, listen to this. Even in Kampar, I know a brother is there watching. It's not by discernment, I know it. We were praying for the presence of God to come in a mighty way. And God did come. And at one point of time while we were praying, and it was the Tuesday prayer meeting, just a handful, a remnant, 40 or 50 people, that's all, worshiping God intensely. Not 25 minutes. 25-minute worship is not worship. 25 minutes is called praise. Praise and worship. You are just entering the gates of God with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. There's still one more level, you know. It's called Holy of Holies. That one you need to enter, because that's where God's presence is. Amen. And that one won't take you 25 minutes. It will take you 2 hours. Church, are you able to sacrifice? A price to pay. And we paid that price. Cut the long story short, we were praying intensely. One night, something happened in that church. In the middle of the night, siren was heard. Shouting was heard outside the gate. And there was a pastor. He was a bachelor then. He was sleeping at the back of the church in the room. He was awakened and he came out to check what was going on. When he came out at the church at the gate, he saw the fire brigade, the men holding hoses, ready to shoot the fire. And he saw petrol car with the lights, the blue lights turning on the left and right. They closed off the road. And he also saw a truck, TNB truck, to cut off the electricity. He was wondering what was going on. At the time, he said he thought it was ISA. But ISA don't come with the fire brigade, the TNV. Doesn't. So, he went to the gate. They asked, Mana api? Mana api? He asked, where's the fire? Where's the fire? Then the pastor looked up on the roof. Apa api? Ada baka, rumah baka. He said, Mana ada baka? Then the policeman in the petrol car came. He said, just now while we were patrolling the streets and we passed through this building, we saw fire on the rooftop. We literally saw fire on the rooftop. That's why we called for the emergency. We called for the fire brigade. We called for all the utilities to come to handle the fire on the rooftop. There was no fire. I tell you what happened. Few days before that, we were praying for the fire of God. Church, the fire of God. And it came in the middle of the night. We didn't see it, but the people that were around saw it. That's why all came. I'm saying this because why? I'm the first hand witness. Church, you got to believe me. I'm the first man. I'm the first hand witness. You want, I can bring the pastor. He's still around. He's still alive. Very much alive. This is the fire of God. It can come. Amen. When you press in and worship God, the fire of God will come. It will be a different fire. Few weeks ago, there was a fire here. It destroyed the building. Amen. That's the fire set naturally. But let me tell you, there will be a fire here that will not destroy this building, but it will be the fire of God. If it can happen then, it can happen now. And I'm challenging all of us. Don't look at your watches. What time you're going for lunch? Because the fire of God is not going to come when you look at your watch. When you put aside your watch and look to God, then the fire of God will come. God is eternal. Amen. Hallelujah. And I challenge you this morning. You want to see the fire of God? Something that's out of this world. Something that's beyond your understanding. Something that's beyond your finite thinking. Because the God that we serve is beyond. He's infinite. His ways are higher. His thoughts are higher. That's the God you and I serve. And I say to you this morning, don't miss out this chance. As we shift to a higher gear, get in. Don't just be a church member. Be a disciple of Jesus. Your sacrifice and your giving and all will not be in vain. Jesus is a rewarder of them that diligently seeks Him.
Thank you for listening to Glad Tidings. We hope that you are encouraged by this message. If you would like weekly updates, be sure to follow us on Spotify. To find out more about the life of our church, visit us on our website at gladtidings.my or follow us on social media. Once again, thank you for tuning in. God bless.